responsible for your stupidity. In short, don't try this at home or at all.
Visit the website at Mike Hunts on Fire.
What?
Oh, God.
Dot com.
No. No.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
No. No.
Yes, Mike Hunts on Fire.
That's the website.
Dot com.
Jackie's very upset that he didn't think of that first.
Jackie thought he owned
that. Y'all are killing me.
That's funny.
And Shane, he's wonderful. He's been very good to me.
He's the promoter?
Yes, he is.
I see. And
yes.
He asked you to appear
yes.
there.
What's happening? This is Philip H. Anselmo from Superjoint Virtual, and you're listening to Three Ring Radio.
Hey, this is Gene from GidjaGene.com. You're listening to Three Ring Radio. Use once and destroy, motherfucker.
Hello, you metal freaks. This is King Diamond, and you're listening to ThreeRingRadio.com. With Shane, you better stay tuned.
Hi, this is Ben of Penn and Teller. You're listening to Three Ring Radio, but I've been known to lie.
They're flat evil.
The evildoers are continuing to try to harm America and Americans.
The evildoers, hands of evildoers. There's no shadow of the world dark enough for them to kind of slither around in.
Great. Yeah, exactly. Excellent. Oh,
so how long have you lived here? Do you live here?
Yes, since 2000.
Oh.
All these masks up here are great. So how did you get the Bela Lugosi cape?
There was a young fellow named Dick Sheffield. He'd never even... Well, first let me show you around, then I'll
okay.
sit down and answer to these questions.
Okay, sorry.
The man who inspired my entire existence, Hugo Gernsback, the creator of science fiction.
Oh, wow.
When I was 5.5 years old in 1922, I saw this film called One Glorious Day, with a little creature in it called Eck. Some fan friends had named their little boy Forrest.
That's neat.
That's the comic book character I created, Vampirella.
That's cool. I love that one. Love it. This is, boy, I have such a big smile on my face.
Vincent Price gave me his last autograph. He knew he was not long for the world, so he decided he would sign his name one last time. There are the golden shoes worn by Marlene Dietrich in a film called A Foreign Affair. I met Marlene when I was 15 years old.
Really?
There was a young actor opposite her, just doing his second role. I don't know if he ever went on to mount anything. Cary Grant? Cylon from Battlestar Galactica.
Well, this is wonderful.
From the lost film, London After Midnight, Lon Chaney's hat and ghoulish teeth.
It's got to be one of the spookiest images around, that Boris Karloff with the hat on there and the teeth. Yeah, that is great. Look at that. Wonderful.
I first started doing this in 1939. I've had over 50,000 fans visit me.
Really? I can believe
sisters from Transylvania. Leading lady fan from China. Even a fan from Tibet.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Were you surprised to have a fan from Tibet?
Recently, I had 4 young girl fans from Korea for the first time.
That's neat. We wondered if there would be a crowd.
Korean girls.
Exactly. You struck it big. Oh, that's nice artwork. That's very nice.
My artist named Hannes Bock.
Very nice.
See, young lady, are you over 21?
Yes.
Well, I guess it's safe to step into my bedroom. Abraham Lincoln sat in this chair in 1859.
Wow.
It's photographed by my great-grandfather. That's a self-portrait of the great-grandfather who photographed Lincoln.
That's amazing.
Recently I had a darling little 4.5-year-old girl. I set her down in the chair. I said, "Jasmine, do you know who Abraham Lincoln was?" She said, "Well, Uncle Forey, I don't know kindergarten yet. I'm afraid I don't know." So I showed her a penny. I said, "Do you know who that is?" "Vincent Price."
That's awesome. That's funny. She has her priorities right. That's good. Very nice, very nice.
This is amazing.
I had a wonderful wife for 41 years, but we got mugged in Italy, and 16 years ago, she lost her life.
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
This picture is both of you two.
My brother got up New Year's Day 1945 and wasn't alive that night, killed in the Battle of the Bulge.
Oh, really?
My grandparents, the last of the big-time angels. 1 year they took me to 356 films. And one particular day, 7 movies.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you familiar with the Bradbury Building? Did you see
No.
Blade Runner?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that building actually exists.
Oh, wow.
And my grandfather, age 32, was the architect of it.
Wow.
Wow, that's you have an impressive bloodline.
It's a beautiful photo.
That's a very impressive bloodline. Marilyn Monroe fan. That's a good eye. Oh, yeah, very cool.
Sit down. You want to know something about
bill of the groceries, did you?
Oh, well, just where
a holiday cake?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, there was a youngster named Dick Sheffield. He had never even seen a Lugosi film. He saw one and he was so turned on, he went home, he stood in front of the mirror, put a whammy on himself, and then to his great surprise and pleasure, he found that Bela had moved into an apartment about a block away from him. Well, he didn't have the nerve to go and ring Dracula's doorbell, so he got his aunt to phone Lugosi and ask if she could interview him. And when he agreed, she said, could I bring my nephew? Well, the boys saw that Bela could use all the help he could get, and he voluntarily would go to the store and get his groceries and get his shoes resold and do everything he could for him. So bit by bit, as Bill realized his life was coming to an end, he began to give various things to the boy, the cape, the ring, and so on. And after Bela died, of course, the boy really treasured these items. But on the other hand, he realized that nobody would ever see him. He had no reputation. He wasn't a writer or an actor or anything. He decided it'd make much more sense if I had them than folks like yourself would be seeing them. So bit by bit, I acquired the cape and the ring and one thing and another. Many years ago, I was on a stage in London.
I assume he sold them to you.
Pardon?
I assume that the gentleman sold them to you.
Yes.
How much did you buy that for? Something like that, the cape.
I don't recall about the cape. I think the ring was $100 at the time.
Isn't that great? Great investment.
A couple of years ago, I was on the stage in London with Ray Harryhausen. They were showing a revival of the original animated King Kong. And as I was leaving the audience, a lady came up to me and she said, "Sir, were you the man in the gorilla suit?" I said, "Oh, no, I was too young. That was my father."
Well, that's funny. So how did you start in publishing?
Well, let me think. 1939, I believe, I was invited over to London to be a guest of honor at a fantasy science fiction festival. And afterwards, I went over on the Queen Mary and came back on the Queen Elizabeth. But I had a week to spare, so I went from London over to Paris. And in Paris, on a newsstand, I saw a magazine which ordinarily was about all sorts of films. But this particular issue had the Werewolf of London on the cover. And inside it was all about King Kong and Frankenstein and Dracula and the Invisible Man and so on. So, of course, I bought a
copy for my collection. When I got to New York, I had, as an agent, I had been selling articles to a publisher who had a magazine called After Hours, which was a kind of a poor man's playboy. And at the time he was looking for what's called a one-shot, a publication that you don't expect to go on month after month, would be just one issue, say, all about the Beatles or Marilyn Monroe or something popular at the time. He took one look at this French magazine, and in his imagination he could see the whole thing turning into English, and he thought he could borrow the photos, and he would have a instant one-shot. But when he began to have it translated, he found it was kind of dry and didactic, and he didn't think it would appeal to an American audience, and also the stills didn't belong to any single person, but about six different collectors who weren't about to send them across the big pond and lend them to him. So he was about to give up on it. I spoke up and I said, well, I've seen all these films ever since 1922, and I have 35,000 stills. I'm sure I could create the magazine. Well, he didn't know whether I was a Hollywooden head full of hot air, so he came out to Los Angeles to see if I was for real. He couldn't afford, actually, to fly from New York to L.A., so he took a bus, I believe, as far as Las Vegas, and then got on the plane and flew in the big publisher from New York. Really impressed me at the time. I thought he had flown all the way from New York. So he came out of my house and he saw indeed I had 35,000 stills. And he went back to New York, and in those days there were 13 different distributors of magazines all over the United States. And there was no use publishing a magazine if one of the distributors wouldn't distribute it for him. Well, I originally called the magazine, forgotten now just what I had in mind. But anyway, he shopped the idea around, and none of the 13 potential distributors were interested. So that idea was about to die a morning when American International Pictures had run away with success with the film I Was a Teenage, what was it, Werewolf, I think, and Life magazine published about an 8-page feature on this new genre of horror films appealing to teenagers. One of the distributors remembered this madman who had been around trying to sell him on the notion of a magazine full of horror personalities in films, called him back and said, well, okay, create a title that will appear to kids and make the contents appeal to them, and we're in business. So James Warren phoned me and he said, well, don't look now, but you're about to become the editor of a magazine called Famous Monsters of Film Land. And next thing I knew, I was sitting at a hot typewriter. It was smoking so badly, I was afraid it was going to die of cancer. And about 20 hours a day, I was batting out copy, and the publisher was holding an imaginary sign in front of me. Forrest Ackerman, I am 11 and a half years old, and I am your reader. Make me laugh. Well, I hadn't had any intention of being funny about Frankenstein or Dracula or King Kong or anything, but so I put on my thinking cap and came up with all kind of puns, and 2 weeks after the first issue went on sale, I was in the swimming pool where none of the people knew me, and I heard one mother saying to another, you wouldn't believe the magazine my kid brought home. It was all full of messed up faces, and there one picture said a mummy fell into a swimming pool and became an instant mud pie, and everybody in the swimming pool was breaking up, and I gee, that came out of my fingers about 6 weeks ago. So that story behind the creation of Famous Monsters of Filmland.
That's awesome.
It's really interesting.
When Boris Karloff was making his final four films here in 5 weeks, I was frequently on the sets. There were four little children in one family, all wanted to join me and meet Mr. Karloff. But Mom and Pop, and rightly so, thought that the four kids were about three too many underfoot in the sets about the size of this room. So the lucky one selected to accompany me was little 9-year-old Ricky. He was a Korean War orphan who had been abandoned by his GI father and adopted by my friend. So the magic moment came for this little 9-year-old child to meet Boris Karloff, and I took him by the hand, and he was trembling and came forward. He said, oh, Mr. Karloff, I've waited for this moment all my life.
That's awesome. Were you going to ask something? You looked earlier like you were going to ask something.
With all of the things you've done, all of your achievements, what are you the proudest of?
Well, actually, you haven't seen this room. That's my Metropolis Memorial Room. And it's my favorite film by actual count. I've seen it 105 times. So I've seen, have you seen Metropolis?
Not in a long time.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Well, I've seen the robot burned up at the end of it 105 times. So I employed two fellas to spend a year and a half and 600 hours, and you'll see her reconstructed in that room.
We'll have to go check it out. Want to go check it out? Should we? Want to go look at it? Hello?
All right. Okay. Is it okay to go look?
That's a Christmas tree.
Did you ever hear my album, Music for Robots?
No. I'm missing out on that.
You probably recognize the theme song. Row, row, row your bot gently down the stream.
That's funny.
Weren't we just having an argument about sci-fi, Amy? And what was my argument?
You said that the Twilight Zone wasn't sci-fi, and I said it was.
Well, maybe didn't I say? I don't know.
We've been having this debate about science fiction because Shane says the Twilight Zone television show is not science fiction, and I said it's the king of science fiction on television.
I knew Rod Serling very well. Been very fortunate in my life to know Bela Lugosi and Peter Lorre and Lon Chaney Jr. So many of the greats, Peter Cushing.
Did you know Robert Bloch?
I sure did. Yes. Robert Bloch and A.E. Van Vogt and Isaac Asimov. And, a literary agent for 200 science fiction authors. I don't know if you realize before 1954 there was no such word as sci-fi. I was riding around the automobile, had the radio on, and some mention was made of hi-fi. And since science fiction had been on the tip of my tongue ever since 1929, I looked in the rearview mirror, stuck out my tongue, and there tattooed on the end of my tongue was sci-fi. And to her immortal embarrassment, my dear wife said, "Forget it, Forry. It will never catch on."
Really?
That's awesome.
Wow.
If I had a penny for every time everybody spoke the word sci-fi or appeared in a newspaper or somewhere, it appeared three times on the cover of Playboy even, and in a film called The Day the Earth Caught Fire. Sci-fi was first uttered from the screen.
That's funny. I was wondering where the term came from. I never knew that it came from you.
I'm rather deaf, dear. I'm going to get hearing aid on Monday.
Oh, I'd never realized. We had wondered where the term sci-fi came from. I didn't realize it came from you.
Oh. Well, now you know.
That's really neat.
You want to give me your address and make a comment in the guest book?
Oh, I would love to. So what do you got in the works today? Anything?
In the works today.
So
you say you live in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
I believe I'm going to be coming there sometime before the end of the year. A magazine called the Scarlet Street, I think, plans to put me on a train with a number of the objects from around the house here. And send me to Chicago for about 3 days for fans to come aboard the train and see these things.
Oh, wow.
And then go on, I believe, to New York and do the same, and finally to Florida and then back home.
That's an exciting trip.
That sounds great.
That's a good way. You know, that's a good scam. I like that one. How many days? How long would that trip be? 2 weeks?
Pardon?
2 weeks?
What, for the whole?
Yeah.
That's
a long trip.
Yeah. Whatever it takes, maybe three.
Exactly.
In a couple of weeks, I'm going to Philadelphia for what is called Monster Bash.
Oh.
And before the year is through, I will also be in Alabama and New Jersey. And, of course, right here, there will be the World Science Fiction Convention in over Labor Day.
Oh.
I was at the very first one in 1939.
Excellent.
And everyone since except two.
That's a good record. So you stay busy. That's impressive. You have such a busy schedule. These are my favorite. I love masks. I really like the masks.
Are those actual death masks, or are they just casts of the people's faces?
Not yet.
Are those just casts of their faces for, like, masks or something, or are they, like, death masks?
No, they're life masks.
Okay.
So, instead of experimenting on the human face with a lot of makeup, they can put the makeup first on one of those.
Smart.
That is smart. Those are great.
Oh, yeah, that's very nice. Yeah.
You have so much artwork here. Do people send it to you? Like fans? Or?
No, I've just collected it mainly from the artists themselves through the years.
Wow.
You remember little Yoda in Star Wars? Over in Japan, an automobile manufacturer had a little puppet of Yoda made and sent it to me as a gift. It was a toy Yoda.
Hmm.
A toy Yoda.
Good stuff. I look at this stuff all day long.
November 24th, I turn 90.
Wow. That makes it even more impressive. You keep such a busy schedule.
Yeah, that's an achievement.
When's that train ride supposed to take place, did you say?
Pardon?
When's that train, the train ride supposed to take place?
I don't know. Sometime in the next few months.
It should take place right around your birthday.
Be highly advertised, yeah.
Yeah, it should take place right around your birthday. Okay.
Well, I have to be here. Expecting about 300 fans from all around the world to come to my birthday celebration.
Here?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's neat.
We'll be packed in here. 300 people. Most of them will hang out in the kitchen.
This is amazing. Do you still write?
Yes. My author friend Ray Bradbury writes 5,000 words every day of his life. I've never counted how many I write, but I'm constantly behind my word processor, reading email and responding to it.
That's funny. Ray Bradbury gets to 4,085 and he can't think of anything else. I'm 15 words short.
That's funny. What?
This place is just unbelievable.
Oh, there you are. Take one of these. Yeah. Very cool. Boy, what else, Amy? Anything else?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, don't touch that. You'll blow us all to atoms.
Exactly. Where's that from?
Bride of Frankenstein.
Really? That's cool. Bride of Frankenstein, huh? That's really cool.
It is.
I'm not sure why all that stuff is cool, but it is, I guess. Wow, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's cool.
Neat.
You should take a picture of that, Amy.
Yeah,
that's cool. Bride of Frankenstein. Let's get realistic here.
That is awesome.
Did you ever see The Invisible Man?
Film? Yes.
The Invisible Man?
Sure, sure.
That's a great movie.
Come a little closer, dear, and sit right here. and you can play Gloria Stewart in The Invisible Man, and I'll be Claude Rains. Flora, my darling. A funny little hat. I always liked it. You've been crying, Flora. A thousand experiments, a thousand failures. And then the wonderful light. The drugs I took seemed to light up my brain. And Flora says, Jack, listen to me. My father knows something about monocaine that even you don't know. It alters you, changes you, makes you feel differently. Your father? Bah! That's the brain of a tapeworm, a maggot compared to mine. Don't you see what it means, Flora? Power. Power to walk into the gold vaults of the nation, into the holy of holies. Thousands will be squealing in terror at the touch of my little invisible finger. The world will be groveling at my feet. Listen, Flora. Even the moon is frightened of me.
Oh, that was great. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. Very good. See, Amy? You got to play the role.
Yeah,
Dr. Baldwin, I learned a great deal from you at the university about the violet ray, the ultraviolet ray, which you said was the highest color in the spectrum. You were wrong. In this machinery, I've gone beyond that. I have discovered the great ray that first brought life into the world. You say, oh, and your proof? Tonight you shall have your proof. At first I experimented with dead animals, and then the human heart, which I kept beating for 6 weeks. But now I am going to turn that ray on that body and endow it with life. And you really believe you can bring life to the dead? That body has never lived. I created it with my own hands from bodies I took from the graves, the gallows, anywhere. Go and see for yourself. Quite a good scene, isn't it? One man crazy. Three very sane spectators. Oh, the storm will be magnificent at its electrical height. The kites, the kites! Fritz, throw the electrode!
That was great.
Yeah. Exactly. His body has never lived.
Body has never lived.
That's what I've been saying
exactly.
To her. That was great.
That was. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you feeling, Fari?
Fine.
You look bright, chipper.
Excellent.
Do you get big crowds here a lot?
Well, I've had up to 20.
Really?
Never know.
Right here, huh?
Week to week.
That's neat. We were so excited.
Yeah.
When we realized it was Saturday.
Like we've got 1 hour window of opportunity. We have to get through it. We were out here at 10:15.
Go to the pharmacy.
Make sure we were here on time.
Yeah. Are you folks in the mood for food? Could I treat you to lunch?
Oh, no. But
that's
if you're hungry,
nice.
Please, we'd love to hang out with you, you know, if you're hungry and all, but. Yeah.
you have a car just three blocks away is my favorite eating place.
Really? What's that?
What?
What's your favorite eating place?
It's called House of Pies.
Ah, the old House of Pies.
Well, we do have a car, but the two seats, but how do you want to work this out?
I don't know. We would love to treat you to lunch.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, well, let's go up there. Let's do that. It sounds good.
See Joey?
Yeah, he went to the pharmacy.
Oh.
Lori, it's not noon yet. Still got 20 minutes.
Oh. Well, I don't think anybody's going to appear.
Up to you. I can tell them to come see you at House of Pie instead of seeing the Ackerman.
We can hang out for 20 more minutes. We don't mind.
No, it's okay. Just help me. If there is, we'll just help you go to the restaurant.
Well, let me see what else I can tell you to amuse you.
Did you call this morning?
Yes.
Yes.
And I spoke with you?
Yes.
Okay, so you were the one I know for sure.
That's us.
That's you. Calling from outside. We're so excited.
It's always memorable.
Many years ago, I received an invitation to come out to MGM Studios in Culver City. That's about a hour drive from here to see a film called Schlock, the Banana Monster. Nobody in it I had ever heard of or the director. Problem was I had to be up at 5 o'clock the next morning to fly away to Europe. And I thought, gee, if I go see this, I won't get to bed till about 1 in the morning. Do I really need to see this film and get only 4 hours sleep before flying away? But I have a reputation ever since I was 5 and a half. I've tried to see every fantastic movie ever made, and some of them like Frankenstein and Dracula and Things to Come, maybe 25 times a piece. So I dutifully went after seeing the movie. I was walking out to the parking lot, and a lanky lone figure came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Mr. Ackerman?" And I said, "Well, it's a little late to deny it now, yes." And he said, "Well, there were just three people whose opinion I would value about my movie: Orson Welles, Alfred Hitchcock, and yourself." I thought, well, even if I'm low man on the totem pole, that's pretty impressive billing. So I looked at the young John Landis very severely. I said, "You responsible for that movie I just saw?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, you'll hear from my lawyer on Monday." He said, "Oh, what's the problem? I said, well, isn't it evident? Look at this suit down on the floor, rolling around laughing. Who's going to pay for this? He said, oh, gee, you mean you really like my movie? Said I sure did. Well, he had been getting $50,000 by an uncle. He said, okay, kid, let's see what kind of a film you can make. And on the basis of the reception, he was given an extra $10,000. So he added a scene, and he had me sitting in an audience looking at Joey.
What's that?
That right there for you.
This?
Yeah.
Well, all paper?
Yeah, the whole thing. And had me sitting there so eating popcorn and so absorbed in the movie, I don't notice when the schlock truckless monster, Rick Baker monster maker in a suit that he created, is sitting next to me and eating my popcorn and pouring it on my head, but I'm supposed to be just so absorbed in the movie that I don't notice it. Well, 13 years later, at 12:30, John Landis phoned me, got me out of bed, and I had me come downtown where he was filming a movie called Michael Jackson's Thriller. And he introduced me to Michael Jackson, then had me come in the theater and sit there observing an imaginary movie, so absorbed, there I am 13 years later, still eating popcorn. And Michael Jackson and his girlfriend in the movie get up and leave, and so that leaves the spotlight on me.
Oh, that's great. That's funny.
So, House of Pies, how far is that? It's three blocks. Good. Okay.
I don't believe anybody is going to turn up at this late date. Hour.
So you want to drive him up there and come back and get me? You want to do it?
Are you driving off? Just walk up there. It's only 3 blocks. Meet you after in 5 minutes.
That's a perfect idea. Perfect. Yeah, excellent. You know, hungry and pie, they don't go together. I cannot be hungry and eat pie. Uh-oh, see, someone is coming up there.
Oh, yeah, here comes a family back.
Hi. How are you? It's George Willis. Hi. Nice to see you. Are you entertaining?
Well, the hour is just up.
Oh, okay.
11:00.
That's fine. I wondered if I could find out the address of the Acker Mansion. The old Acker? No, the old one.
2495 Glendower Avenue.
What time do you have? Leave
me alone. I don't know.
I'm going to go by there and take a picture of it. Great. Well, it's good seeing you.
Forey.
Okay.
Forey.
Yes.
It's not noon yet. You still have 15 minutes.
No, that's all right. I don't want to keep. Bye.
Oh, well, he's gone. He left, Forey. He thought you were all done. He left. I wonder where he came from.
I think I recognize
him. You know him? I recognize him, too.
I think he's been here before.
I've seen him.
So the House of Pies, is it in walking distance?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay, good. So, okay, excellent. Yeah. Where is it? What street is it on?
It's two blocks down on, where is it? Lamont.
Okay. Excellent. Just...
You ready to go? I'm trying to cross the street. Do you want me to pull up over here for you?
Come on, I can walk across the street.
Alright.
I once climbed the Great Wall of China.
Really?
451 feet.
Did you really climb it? Yeah, you really climbed it?
I really climbed it.
Wow, that's impressive.
451 feet.
Okay.
In honor of Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451.
Excellent.
Oh, really?
Stay across the street?
Yeah.
So which way am I walking, Amy?
Right down, isn't it House of Pies that way?
So if I walk this way, I'll see it, right?
You're
walking? Well, I am. You're not. We got two seats in there. You get in, I'm going to walk you. Amy's going to drive you and her. This is it over here, the truck. He's got it. You're pulling over there, Amy? There she is. Yeah, this would be fun, huh? What do you normally get at the House of Pies?
Well, if you like hamburgers, they have one called Gimme the Works.
Is that what you get?
Well, first of all, I find out what their soup of the day is. Sometimes I get lucky and they have my favorite navy bean or split tea or chicken gumbo.
Oh, I do like a good split pea soup. Yes. Split peas where it's at.
I frequently get chili size.
There she comes. Your chariot awaits. Stay there, Amy. Right. Yeah, go ahead. And then I'll start walking down there.
Lock them out and block the door. Bar them out forevermore. Nook them out. Lock is mine and door is mine. 3 times 3 do make up 9. Change the lock and change the door. Smear them out forevermore. Curse go back, curse go back. Back with double pain and lack. Curse go back, curse go back. Back with double fear and black. Silver arrow through the night. Silver arrow take thy flight. Silver arrow seek and find. Cursing heart and cursing mind.